Well, again, welcome again, and a special welcome to our guest, and I hope that you feel Jesus' presence here today, both his love as well as the hospitality here at Bethany as well. Before I begin here, I just want to take a moment, and I want to thank our staff who have done such a wonderful and amazing job and have worked so hard this Lent and this Easter. To Rudy and to Sandy and to Dee Dee and to Chris, thank you for your hearts and thank you for your ministries. And I also just want to take a time and just say a word of appreciation for our choir. Wasn't that a wonderful cantata that they brought for us on Maundy Thursday? A number of you were here. And that was a new piece. That came out just this Lent, hot off the presses. And it's often difficult to do a piece like that with any real background to it. But I thought they did a marvelous job. Thank you very much. Thank you to our 20 choir members who participated in that, to Carol Johnson and her communion songs, to Claire Hillard for his narration, for Alexandria and McKenna, who were our acolytes and communion servers, for Marcia Germack, who served as our liturgist, and for Sarah Hillard and Chris for serving in our nursery and being available for that as well. And thanks to our altar guild for preparing our altar area, our chancel, and our sanctuary all these Sundays throughout Lent and Easter. We thank you for doing that. And of course, to all of you who have worshiped throughout the last few months and in the season of Lent as well. I want to let you know that we had 83 in attendance at our Maundy Thursday service. That's one of our better attendances for a weekday service. So thank you for your support and your love in that. I want to read this morning Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." We've been talking throughout Lent and Easter. Our theme has been atonement, and the cross has been our central symbol throughout that time. So real quickly, if you would look into your bulletin and grab that yellow insert. This is sort of a summary. We're going to take a jet tour through the last few Sundays. Maybe you've been sick or traveling and haven't been a part of that, but we want to give you a background of the message this morning as well. We've been talking about the different views of Christ's atonement, which is his suffering and his death, and what that means, and how all of that actually happened. That's what we've been looking at and reading in the scriptures about, and singing as well. And just as you see some of the flowers up here have separate petals, the same thing is with our understanding of the atonement. All of these here are all petals on the same flower. We don't just pick and choose and abandon it and collect, but it's all of it together gives us a mature understanding of Christ's atonement. So you remember the sacrificial view. That's where we get the term the Lamb of God. And in that, the symbol of the cross is a symbol of self-sacrifice and the symbol of an altar. In the moral view or the moral influence view, the cross is symbolic of the supreme manifestation of God's love for us. We see love when we look at the cross, when we have that moral influence view of the atonement. And we see Jesus as our example and as our model. The ransom view, just as Stephen Dawn sung for us just now, "You have paid my ransom." That's where we see Jesus as Savior, as Liberator. And the cross is a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of emancipation, if you will. And our response to that is that for the church to be a lifeboat, to be a place of rescue, as well as to be a place of all ministry. The satisfaction view, that's where we get our understanding of Jesus as the good shepherd, as the faithful one. And the cross symbolizes the restitution that has been made with humanity by God through Christ. And our response is gratitude and generosity and love. It's the substitutionary view. That's where we get Jesus as Savior. He is the one who saves. He is the one who bears our sin. He is our substitute as well. And the cross is the image of a courtroom where judgment and justice and love come forth. And we see in Christ humility in the substitutionary view, that he was the one who was selfless and went all the way to the cross. The penal substitution is a variation of that. That's where we see Jesus as the crucified one, where Jesus is the suffering servant. And the cross there is not so much an image of love or of a sacrifice, but the cross is that torture, that agony, that humiliation that Jesus suffered on our behalf. And we see how Christ endured the cross, according to Apostle Paul. So today we look at the final petal on the rose, and that is the victory view. As we look at this, victory view represents Christ as the champion. He's the champion, he's the king, he's the conqueror of all. And here the cross is the scene of warfare. It's the scene of a battleground. It's an arena, it's the Roman Colosseum. It's all of those things wrapped up in one. It's the place where Jesus battles Satan for our souls and for our lives, for humanity, and Jesus wins. He wins. So the victory view presents Christ as the conqueror. The resurrection of Christ breaks the hold of death, breaks the bondage of sin, opens up the light, and Christ is the victor. Listen for that message of victory as we sing, "Thine Be the Glory." It's number 308 in your hymnal. We'll sing just the first two verses, number 308.
Read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57, and if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that will be page 167. And I'm reading the ESV. "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Thank you, Mike. So Christ's death and ultimately his resurrection is seen as the decisive moment in the battle, in that war against all the powers of darkness. Easter is about God through Christ triumphing over all that Satan and humanity could throw at Jesus. And you know, often the question comes, well, if Christ triumphed over death and over sin and over evil, then why is there still so much of it in the world? My answer that I would offer you this morning is this: Christ defeated them, not annihilated them. Okay? Death, sin, evil still exist, but they no longer have the same power. They don't have to have the same power over you or over society or over this world. We are not helpless. We are not trapped. It may feel that way sometimes, but Christ has made a way. So I try to think about an analogy that I could sort of, a modern day analogy for this, okay? So I want to use the analogy of the golf major championship schedule, okay? I don't follow golf as closely as some of you do, so help me with this, okay? All right, so we just finished with a major golf championship. What was that? Thank you, the Masters, yeah. Now the next one up in May is the PGA Championship, okay? And then there's one coming up in June, and that one's called the U.S. Open. Thank you. You know, so here's the analogy. Here, I hope this helps. There's going to be a champion in each major, right? And those who lost the first time, they're not down and out forever, are they? No, they're going to come back. They're going to come back to compete again. They're going to come back stronger, and they're going to want to fight again, and they're going to want the victory next time. All the real and personified forces of evil, whether it's evil or the devil or powers of darkness or Satan, they lost at Calvary. They lost, but they'll be back. They'll be back. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the strength of his might. His might being those personal benefits to you and to me as a result of Christ's work on the cross. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are contending not against flesh and blood, but we're contending against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the high and heavenly places. It's like, sheesh, you know, that sounds like a lot. How can we possibly have the victory? How can we possibly conquer? And maybe you know someone this morning that is really struggling with something in their life. They may not term it evil or devil or Satan, but there's a struggle, there's a battle going on in that arena. Maybe it's in the mind, maybe it's in the heart, maybe it's in a relationship, whatever it might be. But the cross paints for us a wonderful, powerful picture of Christ. Now, how does this help us day to day? Well, if we see in the death of Christ an exposure of the corrupt political system of that day, you know, the leaders, how they conspired against him and the corruptness and evil that was there. And if we see in his resurrection a triumph and a victory over those powers and over those leaders, then one thing that we can do is that we can address the social, the economic, the political systems that hinder people from knowing the abundant life that is ours through Christ Jesus, that hinder people, even prevent people from that personal transformation and living in him. Social issues such as hunger and homelessness and poverty and crime. Cultural change and activism, institutionalized racism and gender sexism. Either on a personal level or that we see that happens in our society, we can join with others, we can partner with others and collaborate with others. And in those ways, let people know that Christ has won the victory. And let me tell you, if you are in bondage, or if you are a people in bondage, or a race in bondage, or even a country that's in bondage because of a political system or an economic system, the victory view of Christ's atonement adds light and fire and purpose to your faith. One of the missionaries that we support is Clara Biswas. She's our missionary in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh, and she works with the street children and the families in Phnom Penh. She's written us an Easter letter, and I'd like to share parts of it to conclude this morning. She says, "Dear friends, we're again celebrating Easter 2019. We thank God for the opportunity to share this privilege to believe and to obey Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. This is the reason why we are here in Cambodia. We are here to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and our ministry to the street children and their families is the way we do this. Praise God that you are there to support us, both in prayers and financial help. Clara was last with us last June 21st in 2018. And regularly as a church throughout the year, we give about $3,300 to help support Clara in Cambodia. But the total of 2018 after her visit with us shot up to $6,200 because we saw the need that was there and we saw the lives of children being changed and their families. Clara writes this for us. She gives us a devotion. She says, each of us is a star. Sometimes situations take our shine away. Sometimes we shine with the rest. Sometimes we twinkle alone. But we have to realize that sometimes we are the only light for someone else in times of darkness. Let your light shine, Bethany, no matter what. May we continue to share our love through our support to transform not only individual children, but their families as well. Through our ministry, we are spreading God's love with you. So I want to ask you two questions for you to think about this day and in the days to come. What victory in your life has Jesus helped you accomplish? And a second question, how does thinking about Jesus as champion and king and conqueror and victor, how does that help you to love him and to serve him as your Lord? Amen.